Praise the Lord, everybody. Joe was just telling me, preach him to the floor. Preach him to the floor. So great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I won't take long. Mikey said, man, you're going to give me a solid 8 minutes? How about a solid 2 minutes? I'm not long-winded, as most of you know, but if we can turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 13. While you're getting there, I'd like to give honor where honor is due and thank Pastor for this opportunity to speak to the greatest congregation in the world. Who loves their pastor tonight? Amen. Give honor to my beautiful wife who's always by my side. Amen. If you're there, say amen. If you're reading the screen, shout, I'm a cheater. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, see Pastor and he'll make sure you leave with one today. The scripture reads like this. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat and met in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And in verse 16 it reads, and when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and the sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is that he eateth and drinketh with the publicans and sinners? And the final verse 17, it says, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For just a few moments, I'd like to talk to you about this simple topic. Come as you are. Come as you are. Let's lay our Bibles down. Close our eyes, and Pastor, if you could pray over the word tonight. Notice how Jesus called Levi, but God changed his name to Matthew to be his disciple, which, by the way, is how Jesus called his other disciples as well. He simply walked by Matthew and said, follow me. Matthew was in the middle of his work day, for Matthew was probably just an ordinary day until Jesus walked by. He didn't have much time to prepare for his encounter with Jesus. Jesus just simply met Matthew just right where he was, and at that moment, he called him to be his disciple. Jesus didn't say, sorry, I can't talk to you because you're a tax collector and a sinner. Jesus didn't ask him to go home and read how to properly follow the rabbis for dummies. Jesus didn't tell him to go home and learn how to dress properly like a disciple first. He didn't say, sorry, you're not good enough to become my disciple because you've got sin in your life. He didn't say, come back when you've got it all together and we'll talk. No, Jesus simply told Matthew, come as you are and follow me. This made the religious people so upset. They thought, how could the Lord share a meal with someone like Matthew and his friends? How could Jesus fellowship with people like them? They are tax collectors and sinners. They are unrighteous and unholy. They are dirty and unclean. But notice what the Bible says about the tax collectors and sinners at the end of verse 15. It says they followed him. The religious leaders were so blinded by their own self-righteousness that they could not see what the tax collectors and sinners saw, but their need for Jesus. The tax collectors and sinners came to Christ because their hearts were open and receptive of his message. They recognized their need for his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. But the religious leaders were so hard-hearted that they couldn't see their own need for Jesus. We must be careful as a church that we don't become self-righteous like the religious leaders in Jesus' time. I've seen so many so-called Holy Ghost-filled men and women of God run people away from the church because they are too focused on measuring the length of their sleeves. They are too busy on the things that make them look good and help, and that make them look good than help those that are in need in their church. If they were truly filled with the Holy Spirit and following his lead, they would act a little more like Jesus and a lot less self-righteous. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, the ones who think they have it all together, the one who think they don't make any mistakes, the ones who are too proud to admit that they have some sins in their life that need to be brought to the cross of Christ. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't say, get your life together, get rid of all your sins, meet the dress code, and then I'll accept you. No, Jesus simply says, come as you are and follow me. Jesus wants to meet sinners right where they are. He doesn't want them to try to fix their lives before they come to him. They can't do it anyway. It will never happen. He wants them to bring all their sins, all their habits, all their hang-ups, their mistakes, and their regrets, and lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus doesn't need us trying to fix them either. We got to know our role. We are called to be fishers of men, not cleaners of men. We catch them, and God will clean them. We are to simply demonstrate the love of Christ by loving people where they are. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What if Christ would have rejected you based on your past? Or what you have looked like or where you were born? What if Jesus had not given you a chance at redemption? He loved you while you were still in your sins. He loved you before you got it all together. Because if we be honest with ourselves, we are still working on getting things together. Amen? We don't get it together to come home. We come home to get it together. Jesus just simply passed by on your way one day and said, come as you are and follow me. Where were you when God said, come and follow me? Some of us in here were on our deathbed. Some of us were on our way to a dark road. Some of us were about to commit suicide, but God, who is rich in mercy, sent someone our way and said, come meet a man. Come to a youth service with me. Jesus wants you to come today, and he doesn't care how you are. He can restore you. A decision to follow Christ is just the beginning. We don't just invite people to come as they are just so that they can come the same way as they came. When someone has a true encounter with Jesus, their lives will change. God did not command us to go into all the world and make believers. The Bible says that even devils believe in Jesus and tremble at his name. The Bible says that Jesus called us to go out into all the world and make disciples. A disciple is someone who goes into all the world and preaching the word, and someone who makes a decision to follow Christ. follow his teaching and follow his commandments. And as they follow him every day, they will start to talk like him, act like him, and think like him. They are going to desire to be conformed into the image of Christ. A true disciple is going to get some of the dust of the rabbi on them and allow it to transform their life. Too many churches today stop at come as you are. There is no mention of sin. There is no preaching of repentance. There is no teaching of eternal punishment and a lake of fire. They tiptoe around this tough topic. We don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible, but we also must not be afraid to proclaim the truth of God's word. The gospel is not the full gospel without proclaiming the wages of sin is death, but the only way to be forgiven of sin is to repent. The Bible calls us to a life of holiness, to come out from among the world and be ye separate, to let God rework our lives on the potter's wheel and make us into a vessel of honor that he can use to pour his Holy Spirit into so that we can then pour it out unto others. We all have faults and failures. We have weights and sins that so easily beset us. But the Bible commands us to lay those weights and sins aside and run the race with patience, endurance, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endureth the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's there right now making intercession for you. He's waiting for you to bring all your burdens, all your sins, all your habits, your faults, all your failures, all your insecurities, all of your worries, all of your fears and your disappointments, the sicknesses, and lay them down at his feet. You can come into his presence one way and you can leave a different way. You can come empty and you can leave filled. You can come sick and you can leave healed. You can come cast down and you can leave lifted up. You can leave better than what you came in. When Jesus met the lady at the well, he was there just to get some water. But the Lord had something different in store. Jesus tells her that he is the Messiah. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. As it turned out, the woman at the well had an incredible ministry, introducing an entire town to a man, Jesus. How did she do it? She used her story. The woman at the well had some struggles in her past. She had been married and divorced 5 times and wasn't married to the man that she was currently living with. But when she came into contact with Jesus, she didn't shy away from her story. She used her story. Sometimes we think we need to have this great, marvelous story about all the awesome things that we have done for God. But I think a better story is about what God has done for us. In spite of our weaknesses and struggles, that's the gospel. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote that in his struggles, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In response, Paul said that we would boast all the more gladly about his weakness so that Christ's power should rest on him. So she pointed to Jesus. She pointed people to Jesus. The woman at the well didn't try to do a lot of fancy preaching all by herself. Instead, she kept it simple. She told people her story. And when she brought them to Jesus, sometimes we might think we need to be some great orator or have some set of special skills in order to do something for God. But when it comes down to it, we don't have much power to convince anyone of anything. Don't worry too much about selling Jesus. Instead, be honest with people about what God has done in your life and God and how God's grace is changing you. Point people to Jesus and let that be enough. The woman at the well was an adulterer, a sinner, or considered a prostitute. We can be drowned in sin, but once we meet Jesus, he can turn our life around. God can give us the desire to reach the lost. She became a minister. We can be deep into sin, but when we meet Jesus, he will bring you out of the way of sin and make you into someone greater. She was a sinner, but she came out a minister, pointing souls to the Lord. The parable of the prodigal son is one of the greatest rendition stories ever told. A story filled with mercy and grace. The story's main character are introduced in the beginning, a father and his two sons. Jesus then focused on the youngest son, who asked the father for his share of the estate. Without protest, the father divided his estate and gave the youngest son his share. In turn, the youngest son then gathered everything together, which means he liquidated his entire share into money. The son left and went as far from his father's house as he could. You know the story. He eventually wasted his substance on the worldly living, and so much that when a famine arose, he found himself in need. Instead of going back to his father's house, he went and joined himself into a citizen of that country. He found himself in a pig's pen wanting to fill his belly with the husks they ate. In Luke 15 and 17, the Lord spake, saying, "And when he came to himself," it goes on to say, "his father's servants eat better than this, and I'm his son." I'm here to preach to someone tonight that someone of us are in this situation. They are tired of living in the sin of this world. They are tired of trying to find a better way out of this lifestyle. I've come to tell you tonight that you are a child of God. You're a son of the Most High. You're a daughter of the King of Kings. You may have got caught up in the drugs and the alcohol. You're probably too consumed with the marijuana. It's slowly killing you, and you feel like there's no hope for you. The pornography is messing with your mind, and you're ready to come back home. This young man, this prodigal son who left his father's house, he made up in his mind, "I have to get back home." The Bible goes on to say the prodigal son arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found." And they began to be merry. The father didn't care that he had left and spent all of his inheritance. All he cared was that his son came back home. He probably smelled awful. He probably smelled dirty. But his father still ran to his son and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." We may be lost, we may have sinned, but we still have a God that even though we have left and abandoned him, he's going to love us. When we finally come to ourselves, he's going to welcome us home with welcome, with open arms. We may have found eating poorly, but God wants us to come to Him just as we are. And as the musicians come quickly, I'm coming to a close, if we could all stand. There are many people today who are like this man. They want to get their lives together by themselves before they come to Jesus. They're under the impression that they need to make themselves holy before they can step into God's holy presence. They feel like they are being hypocrites if they don't sort out their lives before coming to the church. Nothing could be further from the truth. You will never be able to make yourself holy enough to qualify for God's blessings. You are made holy, righteous, and clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is His righteous standing that qualifies you nothing more than nothing less. And nothing less. So stop trying to clean yourself before you come to the Lord. Come to Jesus with all your mess, with all your addictions, all your weaknesses, and all your failures. God loves you just as you are. However, He also loves you too much to let you stay the same. These altars are open tonight. Come as you are. God will do the cleaning and healing and the restoring. He is the one who can turn your mourning into dancing and your sorrow into joy. Let the Lord do something miraculous in your life. These altars are open.